Good morning. It's good to see y'all smiling faces. We love to sing every chance we get. We have sang this song a few times, but I absolutely love it. And the words mean the world to me. Do you have an Isaac standing between you and the Lord? It's a good song. Listen to it. It's a fan favorite for us and our family. So.
Prayed for the day that God would give him a son, and blessed Isaac was his name, the greatest gift that he'd ever known. Then came the day, who would have dreamed that God would say to Abraham, give him to me. And on this mountain you will prove that you and Isaac, or it's me and you. And when I lay my Isaac down, my father's proud, and on this altar here he lays, just to find that it wasn't him. God wanted me. See, most of us, well, I dare to say, we have an Isaac in God's way. On this altar, God will prove it's not your Isaac that he wants, he's wanting you. And when I lay my Isaac down, broken heart, but my father's proud, and on this altar,
the blood that cost a life, that paid my way, death its price. And when it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life.
So I come to tell you he's alive. to have each of you with us today. Go ahead and stand with us if you will. And you know, I know I messed up last week. This week I actually got the actual verse that I'm going to read, and I gave it to the guys. I did good this week, so I wouldn't cause them headaches back there. We're going to be in John chapter number 6, and we're going to pick up in verse number 47. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Is it the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh? Or it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some among you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore saith I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." And then verse chapter 6 and verse 66. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walk no more with him. Father, we're praying today. Oh, what a joy it is to just be in the house. It's been a blessing, God, already to be here and just feel your Spirit moving among us. We're thankful for those that have been a part of the song service. And God, you've just blessed and reminded us how wonderful you are, that the blood of Jesus is everything to us. Through that blood, we're saved. And these scriptures that we read today talk about us drinking that blood, eating that flesh. We know it's not meaning that we literally eat your flesh, we literally drink your blood, but we surrender ourselves to you, confess our faults and sins to you, and we allow that blood of Christ to be applied to our souls. And eating that flesh is to digest your truth, your word, all that you are, all that you stand for, all that heaven stands for, God. The world, when they heard this, they were troubled. God, we pray that today we will not be troubled. But yet today we will not be wavering, but we will be loyal to you and to your precious word. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. God, have your way in the remainder of this service. I just want to do the best I can for you today. I want to glorify you, Jesus. I want you to be seen and heard. And I pray, God, that through these words, that as we expound on this scripture and we think about this idea of loyalty, God, that you give us what each of us need today, that we can go home satisfied in your word, that we've received what we need and we've done what we need to do, and we can go out into that mission field and be a blessing for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought, you know something, we're going through What Do You Believe is a series that we're doing. Didn't take me long for God to put the bug in my ear that when it's Super Bowl Sunday, what better time for us to talk about loyalty? How many of you are either Rams or a Bengals fan, just started to be one? You know what you are? You're a bandwagon. My man, Eli Bohannon, in the back of the room back here. We've had a lot of fun over the years with calling each other and other guys bandwagon. And if you don't know what a bandwagon is, well, a bandwagon is somebody that jumps on the wagon while it's moving. We want to be a part of what's hot. We want to be a part of the hot ticket. We want to be a part of the big thing, the next fad, you know. Back when bell bottoms were cool, you know, and I wore those things. We want to be a part of whatever is hitting, whatever everybody's on to. Social media is a world I just do not get. I'm kind of thankful I don't get it. But I'm going to tell you, the world's filled with bandwagons when it comes to social media, I know. Because whatever's hot, whatever's happening. And when we talk about football, I guess you know my jersey is a little bit worn. I have been a Dolphins fan since 1972. Now, in the year 1972, when they won that Super Bowl and went undefeated, you could have called me then a bandwagon. Amen? But I stuck with them to 73. They won it again. 74, they didn't do so well. My man Dan Marino, he went to the dance, but he left alone. He lost. You know, he had a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and he didn't win anything. So we've had some rough years in Miami. We've struggled. We're struggling now, but you know what? I just root for the Dolphins because I've liked them since 1972. It's a long time. So I'm not considered a bandwagon. I am somebody that is loyal to my team. And I thought, you know something? Are we really loyal to God? Are we really involved in what God's doing? Or are we just going to jump to whatever is hot and whatever's next, whatever? And listen, I'm going to say this too. There are church hoppers who are bandwagons. You mean somebody will join a church just because of the big things they've got going there? Yeah! Big churches, big ideas, big things, big stuff, big fun. Don't get me wrong, we have a lot of fun here. But if you're considering joining this church, I don't want you to join it because it looks fun. I don't want you to join it because they've got a dynamic youth program and because the choir is just knocking it out of the park on Sunday mornings. I don't want you to join it for, I want you to join it for one reason. Because the Spirit of God tells you this is where you need to serve. Otherwise, you know what you are? You're a bandwagon, and we don't need no more bandwagons. We need loyal people. Not loyal to me as much, not loyal to the church as much. I mean, there's an accountability there, responsibility there. But your loyalty needs to be to God. I want to read some scripture. Listen, I've got a lot of stuff if we can get through it today. Super Bowl don't start till about 8 o'clock tonight, right? We're good. In Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 16, it talks to the church. Says Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're neither, you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick. That word lukewarm means this. It means an absence of passion, force, and conviction. It means you're not really standing on anything, but you're kind of floating around with every wind of doctrine, whatever's popular, whatever makes sense, whatever suits you. Well, you talk about people losing their loyalty. They'll be loyal to just what suits them. They like scriptures that identify with things they're okay with, but they avoid scriptures that hit them right between the eyes. If we're going to be loyal to the Word of God, we need to be loyal to all of the Word of God. It's all His, not just select passages that we like. So there's loyalty there. The word loyalty is not actually in the Bible. But what it means, the definition of loyalty, is found throughout the entire Bible. And this is one of the best definitions of loyalty that I found. It means basically this: Unswerving in allegiance. Unswerving in allegiance. I want that to be said about me and my relationship to Christ. I want to be loyal to Jesus Christ to where I'm not swerving with whatever comes up. Peer pressure is a big deal, isn't it? Amen. There are people that will do things that will oppose our challenge, our loyalty to God. Then we have to make those decisions. Am I going to honor what my friend wants to do or somebody I hold in high regard? Am I willing to bend toward what's ungodly because my loyalty to them is great? Am I willing to put Jesus on the back burner? See, God said that we can't serve God and mammon. Jesus said that. We can't serve God and mammon. We got to choose one or the other. Our loyalty is going to be somewhere. Where is your loyalty? Are we loyal to God? And here's some thoughts when we think about what loyalty means. First, we've already said it. Loyalty is not being a bandwagon. Loyalty is not riding with a hot hand or being a part of what's popular, what's exciting. Psalm 84, verse 10 and 11 said, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." You know what that is? That's loyalty. That's saying I could be somebody that sits up front and wears beautiful, sparkly clothes if I'm a part of this religion or this cult, but I would rather just be somebody that stands back here and just opens a door when people come in the house of God because I want to be loyal to God. It's not that we're getting rewarded here on this earth for a lot of things that needs to drive us. What we need to do is store up treasures in heaven. I need to know that what I'm doing the best I can for the kingdom of God and the furtherment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where my loyalty needs to be. I don't need to be jumping on board with whatever may be that newest religion, that newest belief, or that newest fad. I need to be loyal to the Word of God. Now listen, there are people that will say this book is so old, it's outdated. I will grant you this, it is old. But it is for sure not outdated. Amen. Because it's a living word written by the hand of God. Oh, men wrote it, did they? If you believe men wrote it, then you're not loyal to God. I believe God literally guided every hand and every pen, every scroll, and jotted every word down. I know the King James Version that I read today is not the actual words that were written. The same words are there. It just identifies with my culture and my language so I can understand what those original canons meant. But you know what? Through that whole process, God has a way of giving me his word what I need. Let's don't sit here and argue about these kind of things. Let's say this is the word of God, the best of our ability. We have what we believe God's saying. Let's be loyal to it and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Don't be a bandwagon. I got another passage in 2 Chronicles, verse 13 of chapter 11 begins. It says, "The priests and the Levites that were in Israel resorted to him out of all their coasts. The Levites left their suburbs, their possessions. They came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. And he ordained him priests from the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers." This is a difficult time. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who was the next heir to the throne and would be the next king after Solomon had died, stepped in to assume that role and that position. Rehoboam had decided, or rather, Jeroboam had decided, "I want to be king." That's where the kingdom split into the northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. You had all these priests up here that were serving the Lord. And when Jeroboam decided, well, we're going to have altars built to devils, we're going to pray to cows, we're going to pray to ducks and to gooses, and we're going to pray to rocks and anything ridiculous, we're going to pray to all these kind of things, have all these idols, they said, listen, we can't stay and be a part of that. We've got to leave. So they left Israel and made their way down to the southern kingdom of Judah, where Jerusalem is at. They said, we want to hold true to Jehovah God. My friends, that's loyalty. It's giving up where you think you can prosper. I guarantee you, they could probably be in a pretty comfy situation if they wanted to be. But they said, we're going to go down and be loyal unto God. The passage we read originally in John chapter number 6 tells a beautiful story of how Jesus started talking about some difficult things. For somebody to tell you, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you want to be a part of heaven. I will give you this. That is a hard saying. It's hard for us to comprehend that, isn't it? And those disciples, those followers with Jesus said, this is a hard saying. And Jesus said, wait a minute. You don't get it. If you're not drinking my blood, if you're not eating my flesh, if you're not a part of me, you have no part in heaven. I want you to remember who these people are that he's talking to right here. These are the same people that followed him around a few chapters before, and Jesus blessed the fish and the loaves and fed 5,000 plus people. You know what they were? They were bandwagon. They wanted to be a part of a big meal. They wanted to be a part of an exciting time. They were looking for Jesus. They wanted to be a part of the party and the celebration. They wanted to be fed every day from heaven so they could be excited about that. When Jesus started preaching truths to them, they said, oh my goodness, this is tough. I don't know if we can handle this. And from that day, many of those turned and left and never followed Jesus again. That's not loyalty. Loyalty is for us to receive whatever God tells us, whatever the Spirit shows us, and do the best we can to obey Him and to follow Him. Loyalty also is more than words. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, listen to this, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day which He was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. It said not only did Jesus talk about things He was going to do, Jesus did the things He said He was going to do. Jesus was a doer. So truly being loyal is being a part of doing things, not just flapping our lips and talking about things and promising things. To be loyal is to be loyal unto action. Are we really loyal unto action? Are we willing to put our money where our mouth is? If we say we're loyal to God, are we demonstrating lives that show we're loyal to God? Well, yeah, I'd like to go to church if I could, you know, when I can. Sometimes I go, or I'll try to read the Bible every once in a while, you know, and I pray, you know, whenever there's a problem. Is that loyalty to God? If we're loyal to God, I think we're developing every day a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. First, it starts with salvation. You got to get saved, right? But once we believe Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior, then we begin to build that relationship every day. That's what loyalty to God is. Scary part is this. Preacher, why are you preaching about loyalty to God, loyalty to God? I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. Because here's the fear. If you're not loyal to God, guess what? You're loyal to something or somebody. And if our loyalty and allegiance is not with God, then that's a scary thought. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. This was a word from 2.5 tribes as they entered into the land of Canaan. They crossed the Jordan. They were into that land. Jericho fell. There were 2.5 tribes that decided, you know what, we love the land on this side of Jordan, and we're going to stay here. Is it okay if we receive our inheritance here? And, of course, God's good with that. Yeah, absolutely. You stay right there. Stay right there. The other tribes are going to go on into the land of Canaan and receive their possession. He said, but here's the thing about it, Joshua said, just because you're getting your land here don't mean you can just quit. You got brothers and sisters over here that don't have their land yet. They got to go in here and fight and possess this land. So what God's telling you, you need to do, these 2.5 tribes, you've got to let your women, your children, your animals, all your stuff, you can possess it, but those men got to get up and bring their swords and their spears and go with us and go until everybody has received a portion of their land, then you can go back. I'm going to share with you what loyalty is. We go from the verses I just read all the way to Joshua chapter 22. We were in Joshua chapter 1. 22 chapters later, many battles and experiences later in chapter 22, beginning in verse number 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he said unto them, ye have kept all that that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Then he went on to say, go back and possess your land. You've done wonderful. My friends, that is loyalty right there. That's what loyalty is. That's putting it into action. They didn't just say, yeah, we're with you guys. Yay. We'll cheer you on from this side of the Jordan River. Go, guys. Now, they were loyal to the Word of God, and they were challenged by the Word of God, and so they crossed the river, and they went and fought side by side, shoulder to shoulder with their brothers until every piece of property that God wanted them to have was taken over. Then, when their brothers got rest, they got rest. And that brings me to a thought here. It just popped in my head. Are we loyal to prayer? Do you only pray when the prayers affect you? I'm really loyal to God when I'm in trouble. If you're in trouble, I'll do my best to remember to pray for you when I can. Are we loyal to prayer? Well, I want to read the Word of God, especially when I'm fixing to preach. I got to preach on Sunday, preach on Wednesday night, so man, I got to get in there and hit the books. I got to get in there. Am I reading other days? Am I praying other days? Am I building my relationship other days? Am I just loyal because I have to be, out of necessity, out of expectation? Am I loyal to prayer because I'm in a terrible spot and I really need God to work? What about the other days? What am I doing? Am I spending time praising God, thanking God, praying for you, praying for somebody else, praying that I continue to do what God wants me to do? Are we developing prayer? Are we loyal to those things? We just do it when we feel like we need it. Next, loyalty is not forced compliance. It's not like wearing a company shirt, though you may not care a thing about the company that you're wearing the shirt that it represents. Sometimes we'll wear a shirt out of obligation. Does it mean we necessarily care about what the shirt says? You see, that's where we're complying and we're wearing it and we're supporting, we're showing loyalty to something that we honestly don't really care a whole lot about. Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14, says this, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, here it is. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what he said right there. He's not saying I'm serving the Lord because I am forced to or because I have to. He's saying I'm serving the Lord. Me and my family are going to serve the Lord because we need to. Because it's life to us. Because to be loyal to anything else is death. I know the only chance I have at life and at a blessed life with peace in my heart and joy that's unspeakable is to be loyal to God and be loyal unto the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you, I've seen some people with some Jesus bumper stickers on that when you pull up beside them, buddy, they sure ain't loyal to Jesus. Amen. That's why I don't have bumper stickers of Jesus on my car in case I get aggravated at somebody. Is that really right to do that though? I don't. Hey, I'm honest up here today. I'm laying it out there. But is our allegiance, are we showing allegiance based on intimidation? Are we really obedient and loyal to God? You know what loyalty to me really is in a nutshell? It's boom, planting that flag. What hill are you willing to die on? That's what loyalty is. Good and bad. You know, I've had a lot of years people have laughed at me. They laugh at me this year, too, because we're struggling, Miami. They'll laugh at me next year, too. We're rebuilding. I've been saying that for 20 years. We're rebuilding. But I planted my flag, you know, as far as football goes. I'm going to cheer for these guys, good or bad or ugly. I'm not even going to put a bag over my head with little holes for eyes in it. That's not loyal. But are we really loyal to God? Are we wearing Christian t-shirts? And are we? Listen, I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but I'm going to say it anyway. Are we taking notes? Are we jotting down stuff? Are we writing down scriptures? Are we sitting in studies, Bible studies, where we're getting all this stuff collected? And do we just have files and files and files of notes that we're doing nothing with? You see where I'm going? Am I really loyal to God? Am I really here and hungry about a relationship with Him, about wanting to do something about it? Am I reading through these scriptures and am I saying, God, speak to me through this. Show me what you want me to know. I want to be loyal to you. I don't want to be just, what's that book, Tim? I'm not a fan. Don't want to just be a fan. I want to be sold out to Jesus Christ. Do you want to really be just sold out to Jesus Christ? Well, then don't be supporting when it feels good. Be loyal to God, because we know that's what we must do and have to do, because He has life and life eternal. I know this can be said about every trait that we've talked about thus far, is that it always comes with a sacrifice. There always comes a cost, which there is. Anytime that we want to be closer to God, there's always going to be a cost. There's always going to be a sacrifice to be made. And listen to this sacrifice. Here's what it said in Luke chapter 14, 26. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Boy, that's tough right there. If you're going to be loyal to God, then He's telling you this is what you got to do. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, if you want to follow me, if you want to be loyal to me, then you got to hate your father. That's brutal. But we know this passage falls under the same guidelines as eating the actual flesh of Jesus, drinking actual blood of Him. He's making a point here. He's making a statement here. He's not saying that He wants me to hate my natural father, to hate my brother, to hate my family, because other scriptures confirm we need to love each other. We need to love our family. So what He's telling us is how extreme our loyalty must be to Him, that it could even almost appear to be hatred toward everything else, including our own life. He's showing us how serious our loyalty must be. Does loyalty have a cost? Absolutely. Does it have a sacrifice? Absolutely. What is it? It's the same with anything in regard to our relationship with God. It's me. I've got to love me less. I've got to be loyal to me less than I'm loyal to God. Loyalty to Him must be number one. He must be first in everything that I do. Yeah, there's a cost to loyalty. Why do we need to be loyal? Well, we know the benefit that comes from it. It's amazing what we receive in blessings from God when we choose to be loyal to Him. Then we can ask the question, is God loyal? Absolutely, God's loyal. Look in Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. God said, "I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindness. In mercies I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know the Lord." He said, I'm going to be faithful to my word. He is loyal to His word, so He demands of us that we now must be loyal to His word. God's never going to ask you to do anything He's not already done. Jesus died on a cross so He can ask you to die for Him. The Father watched His Son die on the cross so He can ask you to deny everything and everybody and hate everybody and keep Him first in life. Boys, I love that song about Isaac right there. It fits right here, don't it? man, when I lay my Isaac down. That hit me today because I'm sitting here thinking about loyalty and I'm thinking about the obligation and what's expected of me. And you know, the things I cherish the most in this life, in this world, and the things that I'm loyal to, God's saying, those got to be next. They can't be first. God's got to be first. Above my wife, above my children, above my precious little granddaughter. My own life that I love pretty much. It's got to be second. To God, I've got to be loyal unto Him. I've got to lay that Isaac down. I've got to lay everything down. And I can. Why can I? How can I? Because God did. Because God showed me how, didn't He? God showed us how to do that. And this is how I want to wrap this up. I read those passages of Scripture out of John chapter 6, 47 to 66. And Jesus in that verse said, verse 66 said, from that many time many went back and didn't walk with Him. I want to close with this next verse, verse number 67, and what was said after that. Then Jesus, unto the 12, He said this, will ye also go away? Will you go away? We know the decision that was made on the heart of these disciples that were looking for a good time. They were looking for a free meal. They were looking for some miracles. Oh, everybody wants to be miracle followers, amen? I want to go to one of them healing services where everybody's laying all over the place and everybody's getting healed, everything under the sun. I'm not making fun, but some people want to go to just see the show, see the experience. Many times I wonder how much truth is in some of it. I'm not saying God can't heal, but I am saying this, man can't heal. Are we just going to see the show? Are we just wanting to get next to the fire and just watch it burn a little bit? Or are we really loyal to God? Jesus said, I'm laying some heavy words on you now. Will you go away or will you remain loyal to me? Whatever I may say to you. Listen, whatever He may lead you to do tomorrow, whatever decision may come up that God may lay some burden on you, whatever He may challenge you with this coming week or next year, will you remain loyal to Him? Whatever He tells you to do. If we come to God and we say, God, I am 100% sold out to You as long as You never ask me to go into the mission field, we are not loyal. I will do whatever You ask me to do, God, except these two things. You are not loyal to God if we put restrictions on our loyalty. How much greater could a sacrifice be than to give up your own son? And God did ask Abraham to do that. And Abraham was willing. Why? I hope I never have to get in the mind of Abraham my whole life to give up a child. I hope I never pray, and I pray you never have to go through that. I hope no one never has to go through that. I know many have. But I think, where could Abraham have been when he was a part of the process of offering his son? He didn't just see his son die, but he was the part of the process that was going to take the life of his own son. How can you be there? Because you got to be loyal to God, and you got to believe the promises of God. Here's what happened. Abraham had already been promised that the blessing was coming through his son Isaac. And Abraham knew that if God, my Father in heaven, tells me to sacrifice my only son Isaac through the promise is going to come, I know in my heart of hearts that here's what God has to do. God has to resurrect Isaac back to life to be a keeper of His own promises. That's how He could offer His son, because he believed the promises of God. Whew. Stand with me today. Here's the question. Are you loyal to Jesus Christ? You think about that while we pray. Father, we come to You today, and wow, it just challenges our hearts. Mine, am I really loyal? I want to be. I hope that I am. I think I try to be. But God, I know that we allow too much to come in and affect our lives. I know that we're enticed by so many beautiful things that Satan wants to throw at us. I know, God, that we're seeing other things that are going on. We're seeing people and we're seeing things, and we attach ourselves to them. God, I don't want to be loyal to them and take that loyalty to you away. I want to be sold out to you, God, and I pray that that's where all of our hearts are this morning. If there's anyone in the sound of our voice today that would say, I have not been loyal to God, but I desire to be today, I pray even right now, God, you bring us out and bring us to the altar right now. Before we even close this with prayer, bring us to an altar right now, God. Get us on our face. Get us on our knees to where we can get in a right relationship with you. Have your way, Jesus, in our hearts. In this moment, you're screaming for loyalty. Jesus, you're asking us right now. You're saying, will you also go away? God, let us plant our flag today on this altar and say, God, I will not go away. I will not be sold out to this world. I love you, and my allegiance is with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come.